God doesn't care whether you believe it or not. You understand? And I'm not talking to Christians. I'm talking to scoffers. God don't care if you don't believe. You can scoff all the way to the chopping block. God doesn't care. All he cares about is getting his people out of here on time, safe in the kingdom, so that they can experience real life. And it's very important to understand that you are being translated to real life, okay? Every baby in the womb has no idea what's going on outside. Happens. Mm-hmm. And somebody's spanking you on the butt. What just happened? I was comfortable. And so you have to understand there is a life after this, and your body is not who you are. Your body is what you live in, and you are going to move on. Many people that have lived in this world have moved on out of this body into torment, and they blame God. And why do they blame God? Because they figure that they were good enough. And they figure that their belief that he exists was enough. And God is like, it is not enough. Your own righteousness is not enough. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're going to move into truth, you believe it or not, okay? So be prepared, stay on guard, and get ready. I'm going to talk to you about today. Today's message is this Omicron variant. Who's heard of it? Okay, this is the new thing. I ain't to it because they'll give me the boot and I'll be like... Okay, now what you need to know about it is the title of today is the Omicron variant, the push into tribulation. Now, everybody thought if we cooperate and we just do what they ask, then it'll be over. You cannot operate like that with Satan. If you give him a hand, he wants an arm. Yep. Give him an arm, he wants your whole body, right? Yep. So I'm just letting you know, he doesn't operate that way. You give him two, he's got a booster. You give him that, he's got a new one coming, and now you need another one, right? Yeah. So I'm just letting you know, this is the push into it, because they're trying to get all of society where they cooperate with this chip so that they can know where you are. Well, that's in for that. I'm just saying that it's here. I'm praying for the people in Botswana and in South Africa, because now they're saying, oh, this is where it's coming from, and it's moving fast. It's moving fast. It's not a matter of will it get to the United States. Oh, it'll get there because it's a fast-moving virus. And so, see, you thought, like, hey, everybody's back watching football. It's over. The store's open. It's over. Satan's like, until I get you all, it's not over. You understand? The Bible is dictating reality. And what the Bible says in the book of Revelation is going to happen. Praise God on that. So, who heard about what happened to me on Thanksgiving? Okay, now watch this. Because the same voice that said, Grace watches there, is the same voice. And you should know. It's the same voice, okay? So we stop at the gas station. I take my wallet out and I get gas and I give Paris the credit card, Drea's credit card, to go in the store. Then I set my wallet somewhere, I have no idea, and we drove off. And I'm at my brother's house and I'm going, I don't have my wallet. So I thought maybe it's in the car. So I look in the car and it's not there. Okay, so on the way back, I'm thinking tomorrow I'm going to go to the gas station. I said, maybe I should stop on the way home. Then I said, nah, I'll just wait till tomorrow morning. Then I'll go to the gas station, see if someone turned it in. Okay, so I'm sitting there and the same voice, the Lord said, go check the mailbox. I had someone put it in there for you. So I'm like, that's never gonna happen, right? Like, people find a wallet, first thing they do is get free gas, go see what they can shop for, or whatever. Or they might even turn it in, but nobody's gonna look, find out where you live, drive to your house, and put it in your mailbox. But the Lord told me, go, and someone put it in the mailbox for you. So I went, I looked at the box, that you could slide it and it'll fall into the house, but it wasn't there, so I checked the outside box, the same place where the watch was, and there was my wallet. And I said, Drea, the Lord just told me. Because I was sitting there for a while, you know, like contemplating what I'm going to do tomorrow. And then the Lord spoke and said, go check the mailbox. It's in there. And there it was. So God looks out for his people, first of all. I give God praise for that. And the second thing, he wanted me to know that you didn't hear another voice. The same one you heard before is the same one you hear now. Now, the reason that you heard the voice was the other time because I wanted you to know something. What did God want me to know? You were born on the same day the flood started. And that was enough in my brain to go, okay, this is getting strange. Because if you called me to preach end time prophecy, and it will be as it was in the days of Noah, and now you're telling me that I was born on the Hebrew calendar the same day as the flood started? This is getting crazy. And so now we started this journey, all of us, in 2020. We started this journey, okay? What we were experiencing was this evil had already been on this earth. These Nephilim had already been operating. And then all of a sudden, 2020, boom, it hits. And now people are running like crazy to the store, and people can't go outside, and people can't do this, and people can't do that, and the stores are closing, and the restaurants are closing, and it's the 120th year that is counted from the book of Psalms to Psalms 120. It's the 120th year, and God says a judgment is going to come in the 120th year. The same way that it did in the days of Noah. He said, your time will be 120 years, and it will be as it was in the days of Noah at the end time. So that means that somebody has to be counting the 120 days. God said, preach this boldly because people don't understand the time and the date that they're living in. You understand? I saw them pulling a guy off the roof. It was a Spanish country. I don't know who sent me that video. They were going to take him to a quarantine prison, I guess. And he climbed up on the roof like, you are not taking me anywhere. And these people with masks on and gloves are climbing on the roof to pull this guy off the roof so that they can take him to quarantine, or he agrees to get his help, right? So I'm looking at this going, okay, this is getting crazy. Because I bet you $1 million that guy never thought in his life he'd be climbing on a roof, hiding from people who want to give him a shot. But we're living in the days. And it doesn't matter, rather people believe it. The events are showing you we're living in the days, okay? So, this is happening right now, it's going on, and it's very strong. Let me get to the notes. Now, where should we start? No, I'm just gonna talk to you first. We'll get started in Hebrews in a minute. Okay. The 70-year prophecy of that God speaks of in the book of Matthew being the fig tree and 70 years would be the end was a prophecy that every Christian knew and understand and was waiting for. We wanted it so bad that we ignored the 80-year prophecy, right?
Amen.
But because we wanted it to happen in the 70th, it's their 70th birthday, we gotta go, okay? But we knew that there was an 80-year prophecy there.
Yes.
This time, I wanted to be more diligent. And I said, look, this is when grace ended on the 17th of Heshvan. But God didn't speak, come off the boat till the 27th of Heshvan, okay? Which is the end of this month on the 1st or 2nd of December, right? So I said, God did not speak, come off the ark until the 27th of Heshvan. I explained to you the 10 days of awe and why God, he'll say the judgment starts here, but I'm gonna give you 10 days to get it right, okay? So if this from the 17th, last Tuesday, and a 10-day count is the 10 days of awe that we have to see, giving people the opportunity to repent and accept Christ, then it lines up perfectly with the Bible. If it doesn't happen, I guarantee you this much. I have no other biblical reference to go back to tell you, oh, it maybe happened this day. What I can tell you, it's still going to happen. But I would have no biblical reference to tell you this could be a time, this is a time that is in the Bible, okay? 17th of Heshvan, in the Bible. 27th of Heshvan, in the Bible. So I can give you that time and say, this is a time that you need to be alert, okay? Someone said, well, Pastor Sandy, you know, I was listening to your messages, but, you know, it seems to me that you're always talking about the end times, and I just kind of would rather have my mind on other things than the Lord coming.
Wow. Okay.
I thank you for your email. God bless you. Stay strong in the Lord.
Amen.
Right? And because I really know and understand that ignorance is bliss. I say knowledge is blessed and ignorance is dumb, but ignorance is bliss for some people,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because if you don't have to worry, you know what I mean? If you know I'm driving off the cliff, if you tell me, I got to be stressed out for the next, you know, half a mile, right? But if you don't tell me, I can still listen to my music till you hear me scream, right? And so, which one do you want, right?
Yep.
You want me to just leave you alone and just like, when I hear you scream, I'll know, oh, I should have told her.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't want people to live in ignorance is bliss, okay?
Man.
I want you to know what's going on. I want you to know that the envelope is still being pushed to tribulation, okay? So, the 27th of Heshvan, and let's read this scripture, and I'm only reading Genesis 8, chapter 14. This is what it says. It doesn't give you any biblical anything. All it does is give you a date. Now watch what it says. It says, and in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, the earth was, it says dry, but the Hebrew word is destroyed, okay? And so all it says is, in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was in destruction, okay? That's all it says. The numerical value of that is the same as Genesis chapter 1:1, which means that this verse is talking about a new beginning, okay? I wanted to emphasize that because the possibilities that this scripture has the same numerical value as Genesis chapter 1 was strange to me. And so I want you to know that God is like showing us step by step what we're going through. In 2020, we went through that whole year, and then in this past year that we've been in, we have dealt with what's going on in 2021. And what we've seen is this. We saw a bunch of people making predictions, and then God step in and tell me, you know the calendar's wrong. And so tell the people that it's not going to be in July, it's going to be in August, and this is when the raven is going to be released, and this is when the dove is going to be released. And I want you to tell them, because when it happens, you know that you're on my calendar, and we'll understand that we are in perfect, we're in perfect sync as far as the calendar is concerned. Because what I'm concerned about is, where is God at in this situation, okay? So Drea plans this trip to Arizona. I don't know why you decided we were going to Arizona. Maybe I've been saying I'd like to see the Grand Canyon or something. But when we get there, these ravens are around, and God says, and then on the 17th of August, on the 9th of Av, which is the same day both temples is destroyed, everything that happens crazy in Israel happens on the 17th on the 9th of Av, all of this havoc breaks out in the world, because God was telling me on this date, the raven is going to be released, and the raven represents evil, right? And so now the Washington Monument gets struck by lightning. Then Afghanistan, they take over. They wake up the next morning and Afghanistan's been taken over. And people are trying to jump onto planes while they're taking off so they can get out of the country, because they know what the Taliban does to people, okay? They don't just kill people, they torment people. So they're like, we don't want to be under that anymore. And they're jumping on planes, people falling off planes trying to get out of the country because they don't want to be under Taliban, okay? And so all of that happened. So, okay, it happened exactly when God said. I'm like, oh, I'm shocked. I wasn't shocked, but I was like, it happened. So I was like, okay, next week, same day, next week, something's going to happen in Israel, because then the dove is coming back with the leaf in his mouth, and that's what the scriptures, and God is telling me. And then the next week, what happens? There's a riot at the border. Some kid puts his gun through the, from Palestinian, puts his gun through a hole in the wall, shoots an Israeli soldier. They're blowing balloons over so they can set fires in Israel. So they start bombing them, and then Lord is like, so it happened. The fact that it happened is not the issue. The fact that it happened exactly 7 days apart, the way the Bible said it would, was what surprised me, okay? So now I know I'm in the exact thing, and I'm looking for the 17th of Hezron. But I had to go to Genesis chapter 8. And let's go to Genesis chapter 8. In Genesis chapter 8, and I am talking about verse 14. It says, by the 27th, wait a minute, let's go to verse 13. It says, by the first day of the first month, which was Tishri, the first day of the new year for Israel that they count, it says, by the first day of the month of Noah's 601st year, okay? So that means we're no longer in the 120th year since God told them. What are we in now? The 121st year, okay? And it says, the water had dried up from the earth, and Noah then moved the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry, or the Hebrew word, in destruction. Then God said to Noah, verse 15, now, that's a whole verse. Do you know that? Then God said to Noah, is a whole verse. Okay? We're in chapter 8. So 16 will be 8 plus 8. So now this is going to be 888. And then you say, then it says, come out of the ark, you and your wives and your sons and their wives. Okay? So this is when God speaks and says, come out of the ark. Now, the people being rescued on the ark represents the church and everyone who has been part of the church since the beginning of time. So The people who he's speaking to is the church, because the prophecy is about the church. The prophecy of Noah is not about Israel. The prophecy of Noah and the seven, meaning eight people being saved, is the prophecy of Jesus and the seven churches of the book of Revelation.
Amen.
Do we understand that?
Yes.
So, this prophecy is happening here and is going on right in front of us, okay? So, this is what I'm saying, and I want to make it clear. If this whole year, since 2020 and 2021, is what the Lord has been showing us for the whole, for this whole time, then the 27th of Heshvan is a very dangerous time, okay? During that, during the end of this month, 1st and 2nd of December, is a very strange time, okay? Now, if it happens that way, you know what I'm going to say? I knew the Bible was going to be correct. I should have been more diligent to warn more people, right? Because it's saying this is when it happens. It's a prophecy about a future time that it's happening. And so I'm looking for it to happen, all right? If it does, I'll say, Pastor Ben, pack up your stuff, we're done. Because it will be over.
Yeah.
And the world will be in tribulation. And if a person is still here and they've heard this message, you've heard the truth. Because God did not write the Bible just to write words. He wrote the Bible so that things would happen. Mm-hmm. Okay? 1948 happened because God said it would happen. 1967 happened because God said it would happen. 2017 happened because God said it would happen. And so I want us to know that God's events are controlling the events of the world. The Antichrist figure will show up once we leave.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
Now, I can move on to two scriptures. First, I have to read Matthew chapter 16. So I'd like for us to go there. Matthew chapter 16, and I think we'll be starting at verse 24. Okay. Here it is. Then Jesus said to his apostles, If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. What does it mean to deny yourself? The fleshly stuff that you want to do, don't do it. If you want to go after Jesus, the fleshly things you want to do, don't do it. Okay? Because if you're going to follow Christ, that means that some things in your flesh that you want to do, you have to say no to. Okay? I know we all have the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is never going to wrestle you to the ground and stop you from doing what you want to do.
Amen.
We talked about this a week ago, right? Mm-hmm. You have a free will. You can do whatever you want. And you can pretend that nobody saw. And maybe nobody saw. Maybe only you and God saw. Mm-hmm. But the person that has the keys to hell saw. So you can get away with it, right?
Right.
Get away. Nobody knows. And God's like, write that down. Because they got scribes in heaven. You know that?
Yeah.
They're going to open the books and show you what you did. They got scribes in heaven. He said, write that down. The only way to get it erased is to accept Christ or to ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yep.
So you need to know and understand that if you want to follow Christ, you have to deny yourself. Okay? Here we go. Because see, I'm telling you, people were not going to put up with sound doctrine. It says, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever wants to be saved, it says, for whosoever wants to save his life, must lose it, but whosoever loses his life for me will find it. Did I read that right? For whosoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for me will find it. You understand? It says, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? What is your soul? Your laughter, your thoughts, the things you enjoy doing, your conversation. This is what God wants in heaven, because that's the real you. The same stuff that's funny to you is going to still be funny. You're still going to laugh in heaven. There's a new body for you. Just as like when you came out of that womb, there's a new world for you that you never knew because you were in a womb.
Yeah.
You're coming out of this world. You're coming out of this body. You're going to be in a new world. And you need to know and understand that. And it has to be reality. If it's not reality, you'll believe the lie that earth is all there is. And your human opportunity to live is that. That's it.
Amen.
No, it is not. A matter of fact, your time here is like that. I'm 60. And I can remember 1980 graduating from high school like it was yesterday. So I'm saying time goes fast. You don't have 40, 50 years. You're living in the end time. So your time to think about what you're going to do with your soul has to be decided now. What you're going to do with your soul. Because that same soul that enjoyed life can either be with God, still enjoying life in a new body, or it can be in hell thinking about all the opportunities it missed.
Mercy.
And that's just the truth.
Amen. Amen.
Here we go. It says, what good will it be for a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come, it says, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And that is just a true statement. Rather, he was talking to them at that time, but some people, I'll tell you right now, there are some people that are in this earth right now that will never know death, but they will be taken out of here. Because when the rapture happens, he's coming to take you in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, boom, you're gone, and you're wondering, where does this new wonderful body came from? You know, and you'll start, you know, and then, but you will forever be with the Lord. Okay, you have to know and understand that you're fighting for reality. Earth is not reality. There are a billion people that live here, and guess what? All of them have to leave that body. And there's been a billion people that lived before you. Some of them are in the kingdom, and some of them are in torment, remembering what they could have done better to make sure that their soul was preserved. Remember the rich man in hell?
Yep.
He says, I have so many brothers. Lord, could you go there and tell them, right? And so that they don't come to this place of torment? And he says, even if somebody rises from the dead, they won't believe it. Because it's just absolutely true. If their will doesn't want to obey God, it doesn't have to. That's called a person with no integrity. If you have no integrity, you're going to do what you want to do. Look at this. I'm like, okay, I got to get this message together. And the Lord's like, I'm not talking to you. It's my Sabbath. So I start looking, you know, and stuff, and somebody sent me something and says, Oprah Winfrey kicked John Gray off of her network after his third time cheating on his wife. I'm like, third time? And now he's decided to step down after his third time. And I'm like, that's a person that is going to do what he wills to do no matter what. And Oprah saw it. Now, here's Oprah who says Jesus is not the only way and hangs out with and was interviewing pedophiles and all this stuff. Here's a bad person telling a worse person, I can't hang out with you. I thought that would be insulting. John Gray's like, but you do, not you too bad. Third time? I'm looking at this thing, and then I see another pastor named Mike Todd, and he's playing a Beyonce song in praise and worship.
No.
And they're like, some of the members are upset because he played a Beyonce song during worship. I'm like, if I played Beyonce in here, nobody would ever come back.
I'm back to pray over you.
If you do come back, you deserve what you get.
Yeah, well, see, yep.
Because I've already showed you I don't follow God.
Yep, that's true.
Now, not the matter that him and Kanye are best friends, but he had this other rapper that he's really good friends with. The rapper stopped in the middle of his concert, right? He's like, you know, Mike Todd, I'm doing my our pastor. And I'm like, and he's like a satanic rapper, right? He stops in the middle of his concert and he says, a lot of you are waiting for God to come take you in some type of rapture, but it ain't gonna happen. He said, these are the lyrics to this song, but you haven't listened. He says, you're saying that a God's gonna come take you in a rapture and take you to heaven, but it ain't gonna happen. You all going to hell with me. And he said, that's in the lyrics, but you haven't been listening, but you're here now, so turn the music up and let's party. And they turned the music up and they started partying.
No.
Basically, he was saying, you haven't listened to a word I say. I'm from Satan. I'm taking you to hell. And you haven't listened. I just told you that there's not going to be a rapture. You're all going to hell with me. And then he stops and his music starts back. I'm going to send you the video, Pastor Ben. And I'm like, my goodness. Are we going to wake up? And how is this person and me best friends? And how am I playing Beyonce at my church? And then Drea said, the Lord told me, sitting there in the middle of this going, how are we going to reach all these people? And there's people that won't follow God, and we're trying to preach, and we're trying to tell them. And God said, Sandy, don't worry about them. You just preach the gospel. Work out your own salvation. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling it to Drea this morning, and she gave me a word of confirmation. She said, you know what, babe? You probably just need to work out your own salvation. I was like, oh! I said, that's just what the Lord told me. I can't worry about all these people that are doing crazy stuff. Because eternity is a long time. Where they want to go, they're going to go.
Yep. Amen.
I need you to go to Hebrews chapter 10. And I hope I have a little time left, Pastor Ben. I want you to see what God has done for you. You know what I mean? I mean, what would you do for a friend? What would you do for someone you love? How far would you go? Would you wake up at 2 in the morning and go pick them up from work or drop them off? Would you do that? That would be good. Would you spend 10 days in jail so that they can not spend 10 days in jail? Would you do that? No, that would be kind of sacrificial, wouldn't it? So you wouldn't do that. What about die and get nailed to a cross and get beat 40 times on you? But would you do that for a friend? What about somebody you don't even like? So that's, listen, or somebody you don't even, Jesus is doing this and he doesn't even know you. And he says, I'm doing this for people that are going to be born later. Because they may have some problems with their flesh. Because their flesh wants to sin. You guys know that?
Yeah.
You get born again and your flesh never gets born again. Not till you get resurrected. Your flesh is not born again. That's why I don't play with sin.
Right.
You know, I don't hang out where I don't look at things I'm not supposed to look at. Because you know why? What I realize? My flesh ain't saved. My spirit is, I have a new spirit. And now that spirit that lives inside of me is trying to get my flesh and my soul to cooperate with the spirit.
Yeah.
Only thing I got new in me is my spirit.
Right.
My soul isn't even saved yet. It's trying to be transformed into the image of Christ.
Right.
It's not even saved yet. It's still immature, get angry fast, doing things. But the more I read the Bible, I'm transforming myself into the image of God. And I'm getting better as a person because I'm reading my word. And what I'm reading is getting inside of me. And so now my soul is being changed. But my flesh will never be changed. You turn on that TV and you're looking at something you ain't supposed to be looking at. Your flesh is going to go, oh, yeah. It's your spirit that has to say, shut it off.
That's right.
So understand this. Jesus did this so that you can have eternal life. This is a great sacrifice. Watch this. It says, the law is only a shadow of good things that are coming, not the reality themselves. So 613 laws and rules or 10 commandments that you had to that people had to keep. He said, that's not the end of the story. That was just the beginning to get men to understand what is right and what is wrong. But it's not the reality. Okay? It says, for this reason, it can never be the same sacrifice repeated endlessly year after year. Make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sin. Because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. So if a person sinned back then, what did they have to do? You take an animal, a goat or whatever, and they would sacrifice that goat, and that goat would cover your sins. Did I say take away?
No.
No, it would cover your sins. This was the process because Christ hasn't come yet. But it was what they did in their temple services. So if I sinned, I would say, okay, blood has to be shed for this. So let me take a goat or a lamb and they'll sacrifice that. And then they'll tell me, okay, now your sins are covered because of the blood that's been shed for your sins. Because without blood, you can't get forgiveness of sins. God knew this, but he knew the blood of goats and lambs would not do it permanently.
Right.
So he had to think of a permanent solution.
Amen.
Please listen, okay? Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. The volume of the scriptures is written about me. You hear that? So Christ volunteers, he says, look, this is God saying, here I am. I'm going to take on a human body and I'm going to pay for your sins in a sinless body so that your sins cannot be covered.
Right.
They can be taken away.
Yes.
You get to heaven, you're trying to bring up something. It's like, we have no idea what you're talking about here. We got rid of all that stuff.
Yes.
You want to test? If you want, you can tell us all the good stuff you did on earth. We'll hear that. But sin, we don't remember it.
Right.
Because God erases it. It's no longer covered. It's done away with.
Amen.
Christ did this for you on the cross, and he didn't even know you yet.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Okay. He says, then I said, here I am. The volume of the scriptures are written about me. I have come to do your will, O God. First, he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, here I am, I have come to do your will. He set aside the first, meaning you no longer are under the law, to establish the second. Now you can become righteous by believing in Jesus Christ and doing his will. Watch this. It says, he set aside the first to establish the second, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So it's Jesus who has made you clean, even though you know you've sinned, but Jesus has made you clean, and that makes you worthy of the kingdom. Now, Romans says, shall I continue sinning because I'm under a new covenant? And what does Romans also say? God forbid. Because if you get saved and you decided, well, now that I've accepted Christ, I can continue on in doing all the stuff my flesh wants to do. God says, you got yourself in trouble. Let's continue to read. Here I am. Set aside. Okay, verse 11. Day after day, every priest stands and performs religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. But when this priest, meaning Jesus Christ, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for the enemy to be made his footstool. There's a plan to this. Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. With one sacrifice, he has made perfect those who are what? Being made holy. So you're in the process of being made holy. Okay? Let's continue. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my law in their heart and I will write them on their mind. Then he adds, their sin and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Okay, therefore, brother, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, which is Jesus, let us draw near to God. Since it's all been set up for you, God says, now let us draw near to him. Let us do what we can do to become closer to God. What are you going to do? So now, because God set it up, sins are forgiven. Now that it's all been set up, use your time here to get closer to God. You understand? So God wants us to now draw near. Let us draw near to God with sincere hearts in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we possess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we have to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together. I can't go to church. I can't go to church. COVID's there. Is Jesus a healer? Yes, Jesus is a healer. He can heal anybody. But I can't go to church. I'm telling you, I would not want to go to heaven or get before the throne and God goes, "And who are you?" I used to go to church, remember me? Then why'd you stop? I was watching too much TV. And so I was at home. And I'm like, "Well, did you wear your mask?" I even wore my mask at home.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Nice.
How many people were in there? Just me. So I'm like, what kind of faith are the people of God showing God in the last days of people who are saying God can do all things? Mm-hmm. No weapon formed against me. Somebody was quoting that with a mask on. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Yeah, wow. I'm saying we're becoming hypocrites.
Yes.
And the world is watching us.
Yep. Yeah.
And the world is looking at us. Where's your confidence? Where's your God? Where's your confidence in your God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're showing the world that the same thing that you're afraid of, we're afraid of.
Yes.
Even though we have Jesus. And so I'm just saying it's a time to be, to just wake up. Come on. Let us give up. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see what? The day approaching. It's approaching. God says, let us encourage each other as we see the day. Look, there was a time you couldn't see the day approaching. 1948 hadn't even been here yet. So you couldn't see the day approaching. 1967, they got Jerusalem back. You're like, "Oh my goodness, I see the day approaching." All this time, the 70th year is coming, and now we get in 120th year. You got COVID and the world shutting down. You see the day approaching, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least you should, unless you're not watching and praying. Unless you're living a life of disobedience. Because the life of disobedience is, now look, Amir Savati was doing a message on YouTube, and he says, he was reading off all the scriptures that says, we are eagerly awaiting his coming. We are eagerly awaiting his coming. Okay, as you eagerly await his coming. Not one scripture said, as you casually, nonchalantly await his coming. People who love God and want to be with God are eager for the rapture and to be in God and to be in a new body and to be with the one who sacrificed for them. But there are some of us who are so casual about God. A girl wrote a song, she says, "I was loving religion." She said, "Had me feeling so comfortable. Didn't have to be accountable." She says, "I was living so close to the middle. Never had to be hot or cold. I don't want to be one of those radical people," she says.
Mm.
Right? And the rest of the song was like her repenting and asking God, "Can I come back to you?" But that's what we have. I don't want to do religion. I would rather nobody be here but me and Ben, and I'm going to preach the same thing. Find Christ, live for Christ, make Christ number one in your life, and be ready to leave because you are not home yet.
Right.
You have changed your citizenship and your membership, okay? So walk in this with a fervent love for God.
Amen. Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ben. If we deliberately keep on sinning, verse 26, after we have received the knowledge of truth, no sacrifice of sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. So if you say, "I accepted Christ, but now I continue sinning." He said, "There's no, nobody else is coming to die for you. Ain't nobody coming to die. You know, you accepted Christ and now you're supposed to be living for Christ, but you like, but I'm going to continue sinning. Can you send somebody else to die for those of us who don't want to stop sinning?"
Huh.
No, there's no other sacrifice for that. Jesus came and died for what he was supposed to die for. All right. You've been set up for eternal life. If you want to continue sinning deliberately, if you keep, I'm going to read it again because I'm right. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctifies him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace?
Man.
You spit on the Spirit of grace. You saved by grace, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to use this grace to sin. Once I'm saved, I'm always saved. And so you spit on grace. You insult grace. God is giving you grace because you know what grace is? The patience to let you grow in Christ. The patience that God is showing you to let you grow in Christ, okay? So that you can continue reading and continue growing. And maybe you make a mistake, but you can repent and you come back. And then God's showing you grace to continue. But some people use that grace to like say, oh my God, I can ask forgiveness. I'll just plan sinning and then I'll plan asking forgiveness. That's insulting to grace.
Yes.
And so God wants you, see, God wants us to know truth. I listened to all those preachers preaching. Every message they preach was about you having the best life you can. Your best you, God has not arrived yet. You need to work towards your prosperity that God has promised. Every message, I was like, can somebody shoot him? I was listening, I was like, why are they all preaching about your prosperity and you? Didn't one say, die to yourself? No one said what Jesus said. No one says, die to yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. Be obedient. Change your life. Be converted to the image of Christ. Nobody was saying that. I was like, where did these people come from? How did they get these big churches and millions of dollars and on TBN and all this stuff? And why are Christians who know the Bible or should know the Bible, why are we listening to them? You are only going to get the truth here. I'm telling you right now. Because when you're in heaven, you're going to say, I'm so thankful, Pastor Sandy, that you preach the truth. Because for somebody to preach to me that I can go to church, and as long as I go to church, I'm going to be fine, and I could play church and end up in hell, is that would have been disastrous. Thank you for telling me that it takes more than coming to church to be saved.
Amen.
And it takes more than saying I'm a Christian to be saved. You have to die to yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Christ.
Yes. Yes.
Precipice. Tribulation's right here, right on the other side of this. Precipice. Okay? People running. Look, we're already in the tribulation. Somebody told me that yesterday, Pastor Ben. We're already in tribulation, and you're just not telling people.
Really?
See, you are nuts. I went to the store yesterday with no mask on and bought what I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We are not living in the tribulation. But I said that it's about to come.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes, I guarantee you, you will know the difference.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Talking about I'm leaving my house, I'm going to store. Everybody stay in your homes. If you come out, you will be shot. That's the tribulation.
Yeah.
You will get the mark or you will get your head chopped off.
Yep.
That's the tribulation.
That's the tribulation.
Okay? Don't think you're living in it now. while you still got some freedoms left and you see the craziness being set up. It's not here yet.
Right.
We have to live this thing out, you guys, as we see the day approaching and we eagerly await and anticipate the coming of our Lord to change us. Who wants to stay in this body anyway? If you do, you're young and you just don't know no better.
Right.
Once you get older, you're going to be like, man, I would love a new body.
Hello.
Can I do one thing for us, yeah, first of all? Will everybody promise me to stay off TBN?
Woo.
Just promise me that. And Daystar. Stay off of this stuff. Because I'm spending yesterday like, was there anybody just telling people to live for Christ? None. They asked the guy, well, I know you're saying, you know, soul ties, because, you know, you get soul ties when you sleep with people and you get a soul tie. And what about homosexuality? Do they get soul ties too? Right. And is it a sin? And a preacher with a big church said, well, you know, we have many members that are homosexual in our church, but we just try to love them and show them, you know, the love of Christ. We don't want to judge anyone's lifestyle. We just want to make sure that. I'm sitting there and watching them going, why are you dancing a jig around that question? Just tell them what the Bible says. So that means people aren't receiving sound doctrine. That same guy has a huge packed church. He had Kanye come and speak to the people. You know what I mean? I'm trying to tell you, you're living in some weird times that you've got to determine, I want to go to heaven. I want eternal life. I want a new body. I want to live with Jesus. I want to be laughing, and I want to spend all this time in my life with all my relatives and all my friends and laughing and enjoying life. Eternity is a serious, awesome gift. I don't know if you've thought about it, but it is a serious, awesome gift. Eternal life in heaven is a serious, awesome gift. And you're going to give it up so that you can sneak around and find ways to do stuff? It's your third time cheating on your wife? Oh, we're like, I'm a demon, but you just too demon-ish. You got to go. I'm like, that is just crazy. Live for God. Look, the change is going to be beautiful. The trumpet will be loud. The voice will be beautiful. The change will be awesome.
Yes.
We are at the precipice. Okay, 27th of Heshvan, I'm looking for it. Because if it happens, it's in correct relation to the Bible. If it doesn't happen, I'm still eagerly awaiting the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Please stand up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We just want to give the Lord a hand.